Welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we are joined by Charlie and Matt to go through this week's news roundup. We'd like to thank Foreman Mining for making this show possible. You'll hear a little bit more about Foreman Mining during the episode. In today's news roundup, we're talking, of course, about price action as we broke 50K Bitcoin. That was kind of nice for Bitcoin miners. We'll also talk about the difficulty adjustment. Just went up 8% in one day. It's one of the largest adjustments we've had in quite a while. And then we'll finish up talking about Coinmint and Catena, a recent arbitration just closed between the two of them. And lastly, Justin Sun and his plans for a Bitcoin Layer 2 solution. Quick word from our sponsors and then onto the show.
Want to mine Bitcoin? Gator Mining offers premium hosting with as low as one unit per client. 95% uptime guaranteed, no curtailment, 24/7 monitoring and maintenance, in-house certified repair center. Clean and renewable energy, all at competitive market rates. Work with an individualized team to get hash rate flowing your way today. Gator Mining, pioneering trustworthy crypto hosting for optimal mining success. Contact Gator Mining today at gatormining.ca.
Bitcoin miners, be prepared. Hash rate is moving upstream towards power plants and low-value energy. Don't get cut off. Modernize and mobilize your Bitcoin mining fleet today with Upstream Data's high-performance load centers. Plug in Upstream Data's hash hut and monetize surplus wind power reliably in the blistering heat of West Texas. Plumb in hash generators and safely convert natural gas into cash in the frigid winters of northern Canada. Upstream offers high-quality load centers that will help you mine Bitcoin safely and reliably in every application and climate. Mobilize today and start mining Upstream at upstreamdata.com. Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com. Welcome back to the Mining Pod. News roundup, end of the week. A lot of Bitcoin stories, as always. We're going to go through price action, mempool update from Matt. Have a big difficulty adjustment coming up, and we just had another big one. And the halving is looming. Then we'll go over and talk about a little insider industry Bitcoin mining news with what's happening with Coinmint. And lastly, we'll follow up with His Excellency, Justin Sun, talk about his Bitcoin L2 plans, which honestly, I'm probably most excited to talk about that because I feel like we got the best expert for it besides Justin Sun himself. That would be Charlie. So let's go, first of all, Charlie, I feel like you wanted to jump in there. Free.
Oh no, I just it's this whole show is just going to be us waiting to talk about Justin Sun. But let's go to the mempool.
It really is. I'm quite excited for that. Okay. Let's go to the mempool. We're looking at mempool.space. Thank you for them making this awesome open source project. I'm going to hand it over to Matt almost immediately because I honestly don't have a ton to say about this, but I know you do. You did all the Dune queries on difficulty adjustments.
Yeah, the notable thing that happened today at the time of recording is that there was just a large difficulty adjustment. We increased 8.2%, which is the largest difficulty bump since February of last year. So almost a full year. And if you remember last year, price was hot, just as it has been at the start of this year. We started the year last year around 17,000. And at this point, it basically went up to around 25,000. And so with the ETFs and the excitement, we are once again in a very positive price environment. But just generally, I looked into, okay, what are the largest difficulty adjustments this halving period? We have the halving coming up, so I thought that would be a fun bit. And this one ranked in the top 15, which is interesting and very significant, right? Maybe S21's coming online. What do you guys think? Anything else besides price action driving this?
Maybe I do have some stuff to say. There's a lot of hash rate going online right now. So Sandersville for CleanSpark just energized, put 14 exahash online in like a week, something like that. That's a crazy gain. And then I think we've seen a few other deployments. I think Terra Wolf got like 7x hash, something like that. So a lot of these public miners that we have insights into are certainly deploying a hash rate at increasing speeds. And if these public miners are doing it, then we can probably assume that private miners globally are also doing this similar rate. Charlie, what are you seeing down in the Oklahoma scene?
I mean, it was actually finally made into the local news, a 100 megawatt soon to be 200 or 300 megawatt super mine, mega mine in eastern Oklahoma. And in the local news story, no mention of Bitcoin, just data center. You know, I'm your local, I'm your Oklahoma Bitcoin mining bull. And I think this is the first of a lot of that. But I'm excited for that story to become not just Texas's, but also Oklahoma's. But man, these giant operations are coming along online everywhere, domestically, internationally. It's almost like, you know, if you think back about the typical deployment time for these is 6 months on an aggressive timeline. What happened 6 months ago? Price bump and fee bump. So maybe some capital got greenlit and started to be deployed. And we're starting to see some of those operations come online now. And if you think about it, you just think ahead. Bitcoin's had a nice price bump in the past month. So you can almost just set a clock now and say, okay, over the summer, late summer, we may see the beginnings of hash rate come online. That is if hash rate is responsive to shorter term price movements, when I think we may be kind of decoupling into it and entering into more of a period of just constant energization.
Why do you think they didn't put the Bitcoin stuff into that news announcement? I feel like that's always the thing people care about.
Well,
is there a Bitcoiner inside the local Oklahoma newspapers trying to, you know, draw attention away from Bitcoin?
No, I think it's one of those things where if you don't have to say Bitcoin, you might not put it in there. There's not a lot, depending on who you talk to. Sometimes there's not a lot to be gained. Like Northern Data tried to put in a 200 megawatt mine in Northeast Oklahoma, didn't mention Bitcoin. It was mainly HPC, high performance compute. They never turned that online, but this other company, Polaris, who I talk with them a lot, nice folks over there, they didn't mention Bitcoin in this particular news release. So I'm curious whenever we'll see the flippening of more mentioning that it just admission that it's a Bitcoin mine and not some just nebulous energy intensive data center.
Okay, well, you know, things are going up. That's expected. In terms of price right now, as a recording, we're at 51K. I think the biggest reason for this is, like we talked about last week, ETF flows are bullish now. So we saw a lot of outflows with GBTC, and now they seem to be net inflows. One asterisk on this, however, is a Bloomberg article from yesterday talking about how there are some assets from Genesis that are now able to be sold, $1.3 billion worth of GBTC. Genesis and Grayscale have a relationship as like a parent subsidiary company. And Genesis certainly had a lot of GBTC in its treasury, and now they're able to sell it. So we might see that flip negative again if they sell, you know, quickly. Apparently in the Bloomberg article, they state that they're going to try to sell it with the market and kind of like, you know, eke it out there and not just dump it on the market. We'll see if that happens. But I think $1.3 billion worth of sell pressure is not nothing. That's a significant amount of volume. Anything price update before we go on? We've done price updates 2 weeks in a row. That's not really us, but
remember when we talked about like what would happen after the halving, and we were trying to say whether it spikes up or goes down. And I think we all settled around it not being super eventful, and then it just kind of result in just constant buy pressure. I think that's that we're starting to see that play out.
Yeah, maybe we should do a buy pressure segment on the show. We could do a dial-in from someone again, like we did with Ben from Bitfarms a few weeks ago. That was
get someone from Bitwise or something. Have them dial in.
Oh, we should do that. Okay, let's pivot to our next story. This is from our friends over at the Miner Mag. Go and check them out. They have a great Telegram channel along with a great website with data on all these public Bitcoin miners. In this story, they're talking about CoinMint. CoinMint is an operation, mostly a hosting operation, up in North New York. They use a lot of like that Niagara hydro energy. They've been mining for, I think, like 6-7 years at this point. I don't know when they started, but they're one of the older large scale Bitcoin miners that have done hosting. This site in particular is about 500 megawatts deployed, mostly in hosting. It's not completely filled. It's probably like half filled as of the story. Here we're talking about how CoinMint has an issue with Catena. Catena was, I don't know if they still are, but I believe they were at the time, an ASIC manufacturer. CoinMint had worked with them to purchase ASICs going into 2021 bull market. Things got messy though really quickly, and only this week did we see the resolution with it all.
CoinMint has to pay $14 million to Catena. Is that how you say it? Catena?
Yeah.
On top of 24 million in which they already paid that was just sitting idle. Right. So that's about $37 million that goes to this chip maker. Now, what does CoinMint do? They do hosting. Who are the relevant people that they're hosting? Two pretty decent sized public miners. I think CleanSpark and Bit Digital, I want to say.
Yep. And I believe at one point Riot was also hosted at this facility, but is no longer.
So I'm interested to see how big of a dent is this going to make on CoinMint? Does that then have ramifications if they're unable to stay afloat? Right. But I'm not speculating that's going to happen. What do you think, Will?
Well, yeah, probably to zoom out. And if you're listening as opposed to watching this, you might be a little confused at this point because we kind of just dove right into the story. Essentially, there's been a settlement this week between CoinMint and Catena, with CoinMint forced to pay the remainder of an initial payment for ASICs purchased back in 2021. The remainder of that purchase is $14 million. As Matt said, they already paid about $23 million. What does this do for CoinMint and why did they have to do this? Well, they tried to jump the line in 2021 ahead of everyone at Bitmain, but it was too expensive. All these pre-orders were already out there. It's a 12 to 18 month limit to be able to get your machines. And so CoinMint said, hey, let's go find another ASIC manufacturer out there and try to develop something with them. They found Catena that was already building out its ASIC. Catena needed cash though to go and make the chips, which is called like a tape out process, right? Where Catena went and designed the chip, but in order to build the chip, you have to go to TSMC or Samsung or one of these other chip foundries, and you have to give them a ton of cash to make this chip. And so Catena was waiting on a client. There was a match make with Catena and CoinMint, but then CoinMint got cold feet somewhere in the process. And the question is why? Why did they get cold feet? You know, they were already in, they were going to purchase this, they signed the agreement, and then they never delivered the money. And Catena was basically sort of hold up, apparently, according to this document and then the final filings we're seeing here from the verdict. And they weren't able to produce the chips that they were assigned to because they didn't have the cash. Now we have some resolution. It looks like CoinMint just wasn't willing to play ball. They didn't want to give the money. Bitcoin's price was going down at the time and they're trying to get out of this transaction. And at the end of the day, like, they still have to pay at least partial. $14 million is not nothing. That's a pretty large sum.
Yeah, at one point there was like a 9 month, 12 month delivery timeline for ASICs priced at a crazy premium back in 21. I remember seeing those numbers, and I think everybody was scrambling for alternatives. And then once we approached like late fall of 21, and rigs became more liquid, and you could acquire them, maybe not cheap, but you could acquire them on a shorter timeline, I think a lot of people started looking elsewhere. So I can imagine the scenario, but it's wild to me. Like, we're clearly entering into a bull market now, and the last place you want to be is writing a big check to someone when you want to be deploying this cash elsewhere into your own operation. So it's crazy how the wheels of justice or the law and, you know, resolution comes at by the time that the next cycle has been kicking off. Kind of crazy how the timing mismatch happens.
Hey, listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business. Inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
The reason why Justin Sun is once again in the news and relevant to this particular podcast is because Tron, the Tron Foundation, right, of which Justin Sun is the notorious leader, as we've been discussing, has put Bitcoin L2s on the roadmap, and that he is particularly interested in, I believe, ordinals and BRC20s. Charlie's your expert domain. What do you think of this?
Man, it's not a bull market until Justin Sun pivots and embraces something. So here Justin Sun is. And if you've been paying attention to the world of venture and where does crypto capital get deployed, it's going on to Bitcoin right now. Everybody and their mother and their dog is launching an L2. So here comes Justin Sun, not to be outdone. Nobody does it bigger than Justin Sun and Tron DAO. But he announced that they're launching a Bitcoin L2. Didn't explain what it is. We don't have any information except it's happening. I expect this to be a notable layer two. Again, using the term layer two very loosely here. And this is from the guy who runs the network, which settles the largest volume in stable coins, like by a considerable amount. A lot of the USDT, the majority of the USDT, is settled on Tron, and it kind of powers the emerging market of stable coins. So this guy is doing something on Bitcoin. Maybe it's just a direct connecting Tron, the network, more closely to Bitcoin. Who knows? I'm reminded of like the, is Solana an ETH L2 or something? And maybe Tron itself will get very close to Bitcoin. Who knows? All I know is that Justin Sun, one of the most entertaining and fascinating people of the past decade in the story of cryptocurrency, is doing a Bitcoin L2. And I think it will be a notable thing. I'm just curious how it'll work.
I am too. But what I'm more interested in is if this can create a competitive user experience in the stablecoin market that actually leads to a large share of stablecoin settlement ending up on Bitcoin, because that would be truly significant. I mean, I would argue that the main purpose of kind of generalized crypto systems, and I'm saying that term, but you know what I mean? Generalized crypto systems is stablecoins and stablecoin settlement. It's highly significant. And Justin Sun has proven that he has created the dominant crypto rail to settle stablecoin activity. And if he then builds that on top of Bitcoin, I will welcome him with open arms. I will say it. There has been much debate over time of how and really if we should kind of doctor the traditional financial system on top of Bitcoin, how that could even happen, whether it should happen. Does that change the properties of Bitcoin? How could you settle transfers of, buzzword alert, real world assets? Right. But people still see the dollar as the predominant transactional currency. And I think stablecoins are a example of just how much that is true, because of they've grown tenfold in less than 5 years. Right. And as I was saying previously, about 10% of total crypto market size, but about 70% of on-chain transactions. If that is then stacked on top of Bitcoin and it is settled in simple peer-to-peer Bitcoin denominated transactions on the blockchain, that will be significant in the fee environment without question in my mind.
You know, it's the heuristic that the most ironic outcome is the most likely. And we've seen this, you know, time immemorial in Bitcoin and broader crypto. And this would be hilariously ironic. And so therefore, I think it's more likely to happen than not. So I love that idea, Matt. It's wild to me that we can kind of see some of the crazy narratives that are going to, you know, define this coming cycle. We can see them. We can see their genesis and talk about them live. And when we go back to this episode a year or two from now, it'll be great to kind of, you know, maybe do one of those flashbacks. Like, what were we talking about when Justin Sun brought stablecoin liquidity to Bitcoin? So I'm just here for it. I got my popcorn out and I have my Tron compatible wallets ready to go.
Well, yeah. As you said, at that point, with or without an actual product, right, we are seeing a lot of funding pour into the prospect of Bitcoin L2s. And it will be really interesting to see. I would be most excited about, I think, a competitive stablecoin experience to come out of this. And it'll be really interesting to see. I'm a big Lightning fan. People are building all sorts of different kinds, right? And how will this impact the soft fork debates that are happening? I mean, truly, it's just an exciting time.
The most exciting time ever. It's Bitcoin's auto monolith, and that presents new challenges and new exciting opportunities. So we lost Will about halfway through the Justin Sun conversation. I will wrap this up, Matt. Thank you for listening to the Mining Pod, and make sure to stream this and subscribe on whatever platform you are, Spotify, YouTube, CoinDesk. Thank you all. We'll see you again next week.